Hello, and welcome to the Mindset Podcast, and this is your host, Alex Muir. In today's episode of our special guest series, we have on Ashley James. Ashley is an entrepreneur, podcaster, and health coach. And please welcome Ashley James to the podcast. And this episode is brought to you by RadioGuestList.com. The number one free radio guest, podcast, and talk show guest expert interview booking service on the internet. Podcast, and I'm super excited to have you on and learn more about you, and also learn more about kind of your background in holistic nutrition and holistic naturopath, however you say it, healing and medicine and. Diet and a lot of other things as well.
Awesome. Yeah. Naturopathic medicine or naturopathy. I don't think you can pronounce it wrong. I'm not a naturopathic doctor, but I have been trained by naturopathic doctors and I've been mentored by them for many years. And I'm a holistic health coach, and I've interviewed hundreds of naturopathic doctors on my podcast.
Yeah, I saw that, and that's super cool. So it's your podcast is Learn True Health, right?
Yes.
Awesome. And then what kind of certifications do you have to have to be a holistic health coach?
Well, there's different organizations that that give you the ability to become a health coach, and it depends on whether you're going to get international certification or certification in your country. I went to the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. I found that it was very comprehensive. It's a year-long online program for part-time. So for busy moms and dads who want to, or just busy people who also want to be a student in the part-time, you can do about 30 minutes a day for a whole year, and then you're a health coach. They also have a program that's 6 months long for people who want to be full-time students. And I did the year-long program a few years ago, and a lot of people from my podcast, a lot of my listeners, have gone on to become health coaches through the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. So I ended up getting a discount for them and working with IIN, and they give my listeners $2,000 off tuition, which is huge. Yeah, I love their program. I've interviewed their founder, Joshua Rosenthal. I've interviewed their CEO. I've interviewed several of their staff. What I love about their culture of the Institute for Integrative Nutrition is they focus on the mental and emotional and physical health of their staff above everything else. So you go like the staff, of course, everyone's working from home right now because it's in New York City. But the staff, when they all go into the office, there's free avocados for everyone. So if you want a snack, there's no vending machine. There's avocados. How cool is that? They have a massage therapist come in. They have a chiropractor come in a weekly. They have yoga classes. They have a meditation room. And they just create they foster a culture of supporting the staff. And all the staff have taken the program. So all the staff are health coaches. And so it's so neat is when you call in and you talk to, if you're like a prospective student, you talk to them, they actually come to the conversation with the experience of wanting to help you better your life. So whether you decide to sign up or not, you end up having this amazing, very nurturing discussion. So it's really neat. I would love to see more companies have this philosophy where they put, instead of putting profit first, they put the people first. And that's holism. So holistic medicine, or the idea of holism, can be brought into any culture, can be brought into relationships, can be brought into companies, can be brought into dealing with your own health issues and healing your body. The idea of looking at the body as a whole and supporting the body's ability to heal itself. And in the case of like IIN, they looked at the corporate culture and how they could support everyone within their culture to live their best life. And I just love that.
No, that's incredible. And I believe for sure, post pandemic, I've been, doing some more research on this. And I believe that post pandemic, we're going to see a very different world.
I hope so.
company, and I'm hoping so as well, but I still feel deep down that there's going to be some changes that are being made, in possibly in corporate, but a lot more in small businesses, and how they choose to grow. And it's going to be a lot more, I feel like, internal growth, and like you said, a holistic approach to the way they do business. Because in order to keep people long term, you got to look at those things, right? And when you have that long term approach with your staff and their mental health, physical health, trying to get, because if your staff's happy and they're healthy, they're going to do better work. And when they do better work, it's going to naturally create opportunity and profits for the business. So when you do those things, it puts you in a better position to succeed overall. So I believe, post-pandemic, we're definitely going to see some changes there. And I think we're already starting to see some changes. And I think a lot of people are going to be, a lot more people are going to be working from home, or there's just going to be increased flexibility because of the potential for this pandemic to happen again. Because even though sometimes, or some weeks it's slowed down, there's still no vaccines, and we can't do trials until there's a vaccine, right? So
I'm not even going to touch that subject. The idea that we have to wait for a vaccine to save us is like a whole other subject. We're being told that we don't have the. Okay, I'm going to go there. The body is absolutely amazing and miraculous. The body, the immune system, can create immunity. We can support people's health when someone has optimal health. Louis Pasteur, near the end of his life, figured out that the terrain of the body is the most important thing when it comes to fighting off infection. And this is something at the heart of naturopathic medicine, that you can take 100 people. And this is a great interview I had on my podcast with a doctor that specializes in vaccines and in immunology. And she said, you could take 100 people and expose them to polio. 90 people in that room, this is statistically, right? So statistic average of 90 people, 90% of people will be asymptomatic, zero symptoms, and develop immunity to polio. You could be exposed to polio, have zero symptoms, and your immune system mounts a healthy response. 10% of those people will have some kind of symptoms, and 5% of them will have major problems, like needing to be hospitalized and on ventilators and needing major medical assistance. Now, why is that? Why is it that some people can mount a completely healthy response to any? And I'm not talking about COVID-19 specifically. I'm talking about all infection. Why is it that one 30-year-old person can mount a totally healthy response to any infection, any kind of virus or bacteria, and have no symptoms, and their immune system mounts a healthy response, and then when tested, they see the antibodies? Why can that 30-year-old have that response, but this other 30-year-old over here almost dies from the same infection? What's going on? And so in natural medicine and holistic medicine, functional medicine, naturopathic medicine, they're trying to look at the body as a whole. What is going on? How can we support the body's ability to fight off infection? How can we support the body's ability? Our immune system is so intricate, we still do not understand it. And yet we think that scientists are going to be able to create a pill or a shot or some kind of drug that is smarter than our body. So the hubris there is that a big company can be smarter than our God-given immune system that we still don't even understand. We still do not understand how the immune system fully works. And when you go into understanding vaccines, and you dive in and you start talking to doctors that are part of developing vaccines, they will say, we still fully don't understand how vaccines work with the immune system. We see the result of it, and we try different things. We see the result. We still don't fully understand the immune system. So one school of thought is, I'm going to take a vaccine and hopefully that'll save me, right? Another school of thought is, what can I do every day of my life, every minute of my life, to support my body's ability to have the most favorable outcome when faced with any infection? And I'd rather do that. I'd rather focus on what can I do instead of wait till one day when some company might create something that might help me, right? Mm-hmm. Let's focus on what can I do now? What lifestyle habits make a huge difference in whether my immune system mounts a healthy response or not? And we've seen it because there's a study that they've been doing on the East Coast. I forget the name of the university right now, but there's a university on the East Coast that's been testing hundreds of people for COVID-19. And they were shocked. They published their findings so far, but they're shocked to find that a large percentage of people have the antibodies and are asymptomatic, meaning we're already developing herd immunity. They were shocked that the large percentage of the population that they're testing already has immunity and had no symptoms. So the immune system can mount a healthy response. Let's support the body's ability to do that. And I'm not saying get or don't get a vaccine. That is your individual, like you need to look deeper into that. What I am saying is you have the power. Don't give over your power. Don't give up your power. You have the power to support your body in being the healthiest it can be right now. Losing sleep. So if we go to bed too late at night, that really affects the immune system. Mm-hmm. If we consume sugar, even one teaspoon of sugar suppresses the immune system. It actually, under a microscope, you can see it makes certain white blood cells go dormant. They just kind of fall asleep. They get sluggish and lazy after consuming one teaspoon of sugar. So we really, really, really want to clean up our diet. We want to eat a diet full of polyphenols and antioxidants, rich in a variety of colorful vegetables and berries. We want to eat onions and mushrooms every day. Great information is from Dr. Joel Fuhrman. He has some great information on foods that are known to support the immune system. So mushrooms and onions, you can cook them or eat them raw either way. And a variety of colorful fruits and berries. The polyphenols, there's over 1,000 phytochemicals in broccoli alone that are known to support the body, support the immune system, and support every organ system of the body. So let's focus on maximizing the body's ability to fight off an infection, because what we're seeing is the people who do catch COVID-19, they are the ones that are healthy. The ones that have high vitamin D levels are not zinc deficient. They have the best outcomes. They're seeing that people who catch COVID-19 are hospitalized. They tested them and they found all hospitalized patients have dismally low vitamin D levels. There's a direct link between vitamin D and the immune system's ability to function. So prevention is more important than waiting for a cure. And that's my soapbox.
Gotcha. No, that's really good. And I completely agree with you there, because I'm someone, I do not like to get any vaccines or pills or take any pills or anything like that. I take supplements. I take vitamin D. I take, I try and get as much sun as I can during the day. And now that the weather's getting nice, I'm trying to do, regular runs, and I play a lot of basketball, and I'm gonna start getting into more golf. But I'm someone that takes regular supplementation in addition to a mm-hmm. whole food diet as much as I can. So right now I'm taking about 2,000 milligrams of vitamin D supplement plus getting sun. And then I take 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C. I take some fish oil. What else do I take? I was taking CBD oil, but I ran out. But I'm going to get some more of that.
Yeah. So yeah. Your vitamin D, you could up it. This is according to the doctors I've interviewed. Mm-hmm. You can easily up it, that you're taking very low levels of vitamin C and D, although that would be like the minimum. But during the winter time, you can take between 5,000 and 10,000 international units. So 5,000 mm-hmm. to 10,000 international units a day. The doctors I've interviewed have never seen vitamin D toxicity in their patients that take 10,000 international units every day, all year long. They have not seen vitamin D toxicity, and they don't. That more and more holistic doctors are saying that we need to take 5,000 to 10,000 international units a day. And that when you have any symptoms of cold or flu, that you can up it to 25,000 international units for 3 days, for the first 3 days of a cold or flu. And that's still conservative for them. That when you get your vitamin D tested, if it's below 60, that is too low. If you go to an MD, they'll say below 30 is too low. A naturopath will say below 60 is too low. They want to see your numbers. These holistic doctors that are really looking closely at vitamin D and its relationship with supporting the immune system, they want to see it above 60, closer to 100. And the thing is, there's not enough information because it's really, you're going to get the information from the clinicians that practice functional medicine and naturopathic medicine. Because if you just Google it, Google's going to tell you a very low number that you should be at. But what they're seeing is that people who don't have cancer and don't catch infections easily all have something in common. They all have high vitamin D levels. And they're not experiencing vitamin D toxicity. So that's really cool. Yeah, there was one doctor that told me about a patient who is a senior who, when he tested her vitamin D levels, they were through the roof. He had never seen vitamin D levels so high. They were in the 200s. And she was not experiencing any symptoms. And she was chronically very, very high in vitamin D, never experienced any toxicity from it. So vitamin D is actually a hormone. Although we consider it a fat soluble vitamin, it's actually a hormone, how it acts in the body, which is interesting. So maybe that's one of the reasons why it's very hard to get to that level of toxicity.
Interesting. Yeah. Because I mean, I have seen extreme cases on Google where like people like just spent way too much time in the sun. Plus they supplemented with too much vitamin D and they got, you know, quite a bit of toxicity, but that was only one case that I saw. I'm always quite conservative because my girlfriend, she's a hygienist and she, when she was doing, some of her courses, she was talking about it's easy to get vitamin D toxicity, but yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. Cause the doctors that I just interviewed a doctor this last week who said he's never seen it, and he works with Dr. Mark Hyman, who I've also had on the show, and together they have never seen, and they work with a ton of functional medicine doctors. They've never seen it. They've never seen vitamin D toxicity. It's interesting how the body makes vitamin D actually. Like we think, okay, just go in the sun and you'll make it, but that's actually not the case. Your body needs to have healthy and functioning kidneys, liver, and enough essential fatty acids, enough healthy cholesterol, healthy fats, in order for the body to convert into vitamin D. And it needs sunlight, but it also uses it uses fat, it uses the liver, it uses the kidneys. So there's other factors. So sometimes there's people who say, oh, I'm in the sun all the time, but my vitamin D levels are low. Well, they might need to look at getting healthier fats in their diet or look at their liver and kidneys and see what's going on. That's why supplementation for vitamin D is essential. There's also some vitamin D supplements do not increase vitamin D very efficiently. The liquid ones don't increase it as efficiently as the dry encapsulated vitamin D.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's good to know. Yeah, because I know vitamin D is a big thing, and it, like you said, it's like very essential for the body to fight off and to be more immune to any infection. So that's really good to know.
Zinc is another thing. They found that this is back in early March. They found that that the malaria drugs were increasing the uptake of zinc into the cell. And that when enough zinc was present in the cell, it prevented the cell from, so what happens with a virus like COVID-19 is it injects its material into the cell and hijacks our cells' RNA production to start making more viruses. And when enough zinc is present, what they were seeing is that it would interrupt that process. And so they also saw that one of the first symptoms of COVID was people losing their ability to taste and smell, which is a zinc deficiency. So I'm imagining that the body was using up its zinc, fighting the infection, and then they were developing a zinc deficiency because they were already borderline deficient. If someone loses their taste and smell, the first thing a holistic doctor does is give them some zinc supplementation. So right now we should all take zinc just to support the immune system. It's hard to be, if you're just eating a diet, it's hard to just by eating food have too much zinc. And so taking, you know, 40 milligrams a day is a good adult dose. That's what the Cleveland Clinic, the Mayo Clinic recommends. I've seen people take more. If I take more than 40 milligrams, I get an upset tummy. And so that can be one of the things that people can experience if they take too much. So taking it, and then there's dosages for children also available on the Mayo Clinic website, which again are conservative numbers, but it's better to take some than none.
Right. And do you recommend probably capsule form then for that too?
Yeah, you can take it in liquid form or in capsule form. Different variations of zinc have different absorption rates. So that's something to look into and see which one works best for you. I don't have mine in front of me. Otherwise, I'd tell you which one I'm taking right now.
Interesting. Yeah, because I know that's two of the biggest vitamins that I've done research on is zinc and vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really important for immune system.
Right, and vitamin C is incredibly important overall. If you brush your teeth and you spit out and you see pink in the sink, that means you have minor scurvy. Basically, if you just brush your teeth and you're not brushing them vigorously, you just brush them normally and then there's a little bit of blood, you're vitamin C deficient. And many people are, especially those who eat the standard North American diet. They're not getting enough vegetables into their diet. Don't drink orange juice as a source of vitamin C. That's just way too much sugar. That'll negatively affect the immune system. Best way to get it is eating a variety of vegetables, raw and cooked, a variety of color on your plate is the best way to get lots of dietary vitamin C. But also, if you want to take a supplement, you want to take it to bowel tolerance. So basically take like 50 milligrams every hour all day long. And if you don't get diarrhea, then the next day up it and keep upping it until you get diarrhea and then back off slightly. To give you an example, so I've studied Dr. Matthias Rath's information, and he worked closely with Linus Pauling. And has carried on his work. He has a bunch of books available free for download. Back in 2005, he posted them on the internet. And I've been reading his work ever since. One of my favorite free books of his is Why Animals Don't Get Heart Attacks and People Do. It's a great book to read understanding how important vitamin C is in our body. Some animals make their own vitamin C. We don't, unfortunately. Wolves have 32 grams of vitamin C coursing through their body at all times, and goats have about 16 grams. So think about it. Are you the size of two wolves? You should be having like 70 grams of vitamin C coursing through your veins. Are you eating that much every day of vitamin C? We're meant to be like, you know, how apes eat a lot of greens all day long. And we don't. Now we eat a lot of highly processed food that's void of nutrients. And so we experience the side effects of malnourishment, of nutrient deficiency. And unfortunately, we go to a doctor that treats these side effects of nutrient deficiency with drugs. Our body's not drug deficient, it's nutrient deficient for many of these chronic symptoms. And the symptoms could be brain fog, can be the body's not producing enough energy. So it's just you're lethargic, you have brain fog, your hormones are out of balance. Maybe you get restless legs. I can't believe it. It should be a criminal act that you go to a doctor with restless legs and they give you a drug for it. It should be a criminal act because restless legs is a mineral deficiency. And when you get on a multi-mineral, especially rich in magnesium, it'll go away because it's a mineral deficiency. It's the body not being able to function correctly. It's like if your car didn't have any oil and you went to a mechanic and they tried to sell you brake fluid. It's just that's not what the body needs. So yeah. This is why it's so important that we go to a holistic doctor, because they'll look at your symptoms and they'll go, their knee-jerk reaction, their training isn't what drug matches those symptoms. That's not their training. Their training is, what is the body trying to tell us? So the body speaks to us. There's a language the body speaks. The body speaks to us in symptoms. What is the body trying to tell us? What is it missing? And what can we give it to support it to come back into balance? And if we listen to the body and continue to adjust accordingly, the body will show us that we're either helping it get back into better health or not. And so you want to work with a professional that understands the symptoms of the body and how it they can help you to make the best changes possible to support you so that every cell of your body is radiating with optimal health.
Right, right. And then for your businesses, I was doing some more research on that. You have some you have a few different businesses. One's an eBay business.
I don't do that anymore. So that was just,
no.
In 2008, when the bubble was bursting, we lived in Las Vegas. My husband and I, and we quickly realized that things were going south. He was a Foreman Union carpenter, and I worked in the field of neurolinguistic programming as a master practitioner and trainer. And I was also doing coaching. And basically, overnight, there was no more construction. So we decided to switch to become entrepreneurs, and we were inspired to build bat houses. These are, my husband would say, birdhouse for bats, because I say bat houses, and people don't understand. I'm saying the word house because I have this thick accent when I say house. Right. To the Americans, right? You understand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we built bat houses in 115 degree weather in our wood shop, which was our garage in Las Vegas. We built 350 of them and sold them on eBay over the summer of 2010. And we survived off that money. And then we switched over. We created another eBay business and did that for a few years. But I was very sick at the time. During my 20s, I had developed several illnesses. I was type 2 diabetic. I had chronic adrenal fatigue. I had chronic infections for which I needed monthly antibiotics for. I was exhausted all the time. I was hungry all the time. I had polycystic ovarian syndrome. I was infertile. I was told by an endocrinologist I would never have kids. And I woke up every day like a prisoner of my own body. I felt so sick all the time. And thank God I had my husband. I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful every day. He was my rock. He was so incredibly supportive, and he still is. And so back in 2008, Netflix started to stream documentaries and stream movies. And we watched a few health documentaries. And one thing they said was shop the perimeter of the grocery store and eat organic. And we decided to do that. So we switched to organic food and we cut out some processed food. We didn't cut out, like, we still ate cheese and dairy and lots of meat. Like, we were still, you know, kind of on that path at that time, but we went organic. And within that month, my chronic infections went away and I was shocked. That was my first big aha moment. Cutting out pesticides made my immune system strong enough to fight off infection so I could get off the antibiotics. And I thought that was really interesting. So then we just kept searching deeper and deeper and deeper and making one shift at a time. We first, you know, going organic, then cutting out dairy, then cutting out sugar, adding a really, really high quality supplements, especially mineral supplements, cutting out gluten, no barley, wheat, rye, or oats, so removing a lot of grains, eating more and more vegetables. Eventually, we went whole food, plant-based, no oil at all in our cooking, and no sugar, very, very minimal salt. And I know that sounds boring to a lot of people. The food is delicious. The food is amazing. It tastes amazing. You're actually, our brains neuro-adapt. A really good book is The Pleasure Trap by Dr. Lyle and Dr. Goldhammer. It's also a good audiobook. The audiobook is done by Chef AJ, who I've had on the show, and I've also had Dr. Goldhammer on the show. It's a great book because they paint this picture of how the brain works in conjunction with responding to food and how we are hijacked, or our brain is hijacked by the food industry and how we can get control back. So I was able to in my 30s, reverse diabetes, reverse chronic adrenal fatigue, reverse all the infections, reverse polycystic ovarian syndrome. I no longer have any of those conditions. I reversed the infertility. We conceived 100% naturally with no medication. My whole family were not on any medications. And I reversed all those conditions using food, supplements, and natural medicine. And I became so incredibly passionate about it that I started to study with naturopaths back in 2011, and they mentored me, and then I became a health coach. And then 4 years ago is when I started my podcast, and I've interviewed over 450 holistic doctors and experts. So I've been an entrepreneur, and it was always for me about following my passions. Like, we built bat houses because bats are so important for the world. They pollinate 1/3 of the food supply. If we didn't have bats, we would be really, our whole world would be messed up. Same with bees. Bees and bats pollinate 2/3 of the world's food supply.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know about bats, like pollinating.
Bats are,
I know
yeah,
bees,
bats are
but...
amazing. You wouldn't have tequila or agave without bats. They're they 100% pollinate the agave plant.
Wow.
So, all right? And you know, other things too, but it's just, it's so neat. Yeah, and then they eat, or they can eat over 1,000 mosquitoes in, I think it's like an hour. They're fantastic. And we're not supporting them enough. The bats are dying off. They're losing their natural habitat. So if you have the ability to have a bat house, have one.
Wow. Incredible. Oh, and as far as, like, I know you don't do the eBay business anymore, but you're probably keeping really busy with your podcast and your current business. Or is your podcast your main business?
Oh, okay. I know my husband was like, have you ever interviewed anyone that their podcast is their main business? I'm like, I don't think I have. I affiliate with companies I believe in. I really do. I haven't taken on any, no one's ever paid me for a commercial. I affiliate with things I believe in that help people. My mission comes first. My mission to help people comes first. And I believe that I will get rewarded for helping people. And then I do have a membership where I teach people how to cook really healthy, delicious food the whole family will love. And then I do coaching as well.
Okay. Right on. Yeah. Awesome. And I saw that you do so the kitchen membership. So for the food recommendations or meals,
mm-hmm.
and then the coaching and then the podcast, right?
Yes. And I also have a program for eliminating anxiety. I've been doing that since 2005. I mean, I created the program. It's a much more recent program. But since 2005, I've been helping people to eliminate anxiety. There's a technique that within 30 seconds, you can turn off the anxiety response in the body. And it's so powerful that people came back to me and told me that they got off of their anti-anxiety medications. Of course, I'm not a doctor. I can't tell anyone to get off medication. And they should do so safely with their doctor working with them. Mm-hmm. But I have gotten the feedback that people have gotten off of their anti-anxiety medications after doing the work that I lay out in my course, because I teach how to eliminate anxiety and how to turn off the stress response and the anxiety response in the body.
And for this Free Your Anxiety course,
yes.
And program, do you utilize the neuro-linguistic programming, the NLP?
It is. So I do. And it's also timeline therapy. The main technique is a timeline therapy technique. And the rest of the techniques are NLP techniques. So I'm teaching NLP tools and timeline therapy tools.
And what exactly is timeline therapy or NLP?
Timeline therapy was invented by Todd James of No Relation. He's one of my teachers. And he's been teaching NLP since the beginning. He was he studied very early on with Richard Bandler, and John Grinder has been teaching it ever since. And he figured out, it came to him, I think, in like a meditation or something. It was like divine intervention. He figured out, how does the brain store negative emotions, and how does the brain release them? So I'll give you an example. You can think back to a memory where you when you think about the memory now, you can feel the negative emotions. So let's say an argument with a friend. It's not resolved. Or an argument with your mom. Or an argument with your dad. Like, you could think about, and it could have been 5 minutes ago or 20 years ago, but you can think about a past experience and you can start to activate that emotion in your body right now just by thinking about it. Your body is still holding on to that negative emotion. But you can also think about a time in your past where you had an argument and you think about it, and you cannot access a negative emotion currently. You just have a memory because it's totally resolved. You totally resolve that situation and you go, yeah, I remember I was angry in the moment, but I'm not angry now. Like, I can't activate the anger now. So what's the difference? Why is it that on some memories, when we think about them, we can actually experience the emotion as if it's happening right now still? Like, that thing that that person did to me 20 years ago, it's still in my body. It's still activating. Why is it that some memories still have an active emotional component that's been carried into our present? And whereas other events in our past are resolved. And it basically, the unconscious mind will hold on to and reactivate negative emotions from our past, triggered like a gestalt, like a chain of Christmas lights in our neurology. And you could have, you know, some people are really quick to anger, whereas other people are really quick to depression, right? Well, we have what's called a gestalt or a chain of these Christmas lights. And imagine if someone has had major events of anger let's say 20 or 30 or 50, there's these Christmas lights inside them in their neurology, like 50 events. Well, they get cut off in traffic and all of a sudden they're so angry. They're angry like someone kicked their dog. Like, there's like, they're angry, like their anger is kind of not proportional to the event, right? That's actually because what's happening is every experience of anger that's still active lights up in their neurology. So they're actually not reacting to the present moment, to just being cut off in traffic. They're reacting to when they were yelled at when they were five, when they were physically abused when they were seven, when they were bullied when they were nine. Like, they're actually what's lighting up in the neurology is every single negative event of anger in the present. So when you're experiencing negative emotions of anger, sadness, fear, hurt, or guilt, you have to ask yourself, is this an emotion of the present, or is this actually coming from the past? And most of the time it's coming from the past. Now, there's good anger. There is good anger. There is actually healthy anger. And that is when the unconscious mind says something unjust is happening that is not in alignment with my values. If you're at a dinner outside, again, not with COVID, but if you're outside in a beautiful restaurant and you look across the street and you see a man hitting a woman or a kid kicking a dog, and all of a sudden you stand up and you feel anger. Well, what's happening is your unconscious mind is saying, I am witnessing an act that is going against my value system and I need to take action and do something about it. You take action, you do something about it, you stop the event from happening. Now the anger can go away. The anger's not there anymore, right? So there's healthy anger that the anger says, oh, something is happening that is violating my values. And then it goes away once it's resolved. But if that anger is still there 20 minutes later or 5 days later or 10 days later, if you can think back to that time and you saw that kid kicking the dog and you're still feeling anger right now, that means you have unresolved anger in your body from your childhood, all the way back from your childhood. Now, why is this a problem? Well, it's very unhealthy for the immune system, for one. And it's very unhealthy for our cells because we're actually seeing, and this was demonstrated really well in the movie. This is kind of an old movie back in 2003 or 2004, What the Bleep Do We Know? But I think everyone should go watch that movie twice. They display it very well. When we, with every emotion we have, we create certain neurochemicals. Certain chemicals in the body that actually attach to every cell in the body. Imagine, if you will, that an emotion creates a hormonal response, that there's an anger hormone, that there's a sadness hormone, and that these hormones attach to every cell in the body. Well, the more you experience anger, the more your cells are saturated with that specific hormone. And what happens is the cells end up reacting to that and creating more cell receptors for anger and less cell receptors for nutrition and for other hormones. And so over time, people who experience chronically being stimulated by negative emotions end up aging faster because mm-hmm. the cells are less able to absorb nutrition and be in balance because they are building more and more receptors for those emotions. So that's just one example of how allowing ourselves to have our neurology be chronically stimulated in one emotion and a negative emotion instead of resolving these emotions from our past, it can affect our physical health and our mental health and our emotional health and the health of our relationship with others. Because if you're coming from your past unknowingly, you're oftentimes reacting in communication with your loved ones. And actually it's like, I experienced this early on in my marriage. My husband was angry with me, and I felt as though his reaction was not proportional to my communication. And so I said, where is that coming from? And he thought for a minute, and he turned back to me, and he said, that was my ex-wife. You said something, and the way you said it reminded me of an argument with my ex-wife, and it triggered that in me. And all of a sudden, I was actually talking to an angry. I was arguing with my ex-wife. That wasn't you. And he had this wonderful moment of clarity. And that's a great tool. If you can have a break state in your marriage where you're able to, or in any of your relationships, where you're able to pause and go, wait a second, where are we coming from? Are we coming from our past? Are we coming from our now? So timeline therapy is a technique where it takes about a half an hour for each negative emotion. We're able to go back, and you are in a light state of trance, so you have a conscious experience of your unconscious mind. You're conscious the entire time. It's not hypnosis, but it is considered a light state of trance because you have an amazing conscious experience of your unconscious mind. We go back and we resolve all the events along your timeline of each negative emotion. And then after timeline therapy, you're able to go back and think of, because we do a test, you have to go back and think of all these times in your past that used to trigger you, and they don't. And it freaks people out in a really good way because they're like, it's done. It's resolved. So when I first experienced timeline therapy, I had major grief over losing my mom. And after timeline therapy, I felt like the weight was lifted off my shoulders. Like my grieving was complete. I still miss my mom. I love my mom. I miss my mom. Of course, I'm sad she's not here with me. But that that grieving that was constantly being triggered into my present, I resolved it. And so that's what motivated me to go on and become a master practitioner and trainer of timeline therapy and neurolinguistic programming so I could do this work with others. It has such a profound effect on physical health to clean up our emotional and mental health and our neurological health by utilizing these techniques.
Oh, very interesting. And for your clients and your consulting, as far as nutrition is concerned, do you currently practice any sort of fasting, or do you recommend that to your clients?
Oh, I love fasting. I think fasting is amazing. You have to be careful, of course. I have some great interviews on fasting. Dr. Goldhammer of the True North Medical Center, he has a water-only fasting clinic that people can attend. And so that's episode 230. I remember the number. It's a good interview. And then I've interviewed a Robin Openshaw on how to do fasting where it's you eat 500 calories a day of specific foods, but you stay in a fasting state. So you're eating like greens and some low glycemic fruit, but lots of greens. Because if you're under 500 calories, you can still maintain a fasting state or doing intermittent fasting with that. I've interviewed a doctor who reversed her own MS and has gone on to help thousands of people reverse their MS. Dr. Terry Walls, and she talks about fasting. She only does one meal a day. She has like a 4-hour window in which she eats. So I guess she just grazes for 4 hours. But so that kind of intense intermittent fasting, you have to couple fasting with dense nutrition. So mm-hmm. no flour, no bread, no pasta. focusing and really limiting the grains or eliminating the grains. Although I'm not against grains. It's just if you're going to do one meal a day, you want to make sure you eat nutrient-dense foods during that meal. Dr. Terry Walls eats 12 cups of vegetables in that time. So, like, consider you should eat 3 pounds of vegetables a day for your health. And that's actually, it's pretty reasonable. Chef AJ says, eat your vegetables first, and then you get to eat the rest of your meal. And I like that idea of crowding out. Like, I'm not going to tell you not to eat meat, right? But why don't you start by eating 2.5 cups of steamed broccoli with drizzled with some balsamic on it first, and then eat the rest of your meal, and then eat some beans and maybe a baked yam, and go from there and start to crowd out the meat or have some meatless meals, and just experience how that feels in your body. So fasting is fantastic. A really great YouTube video to watch is Dr. Jason Fung's video on YouTube called the two compartment system. I think if you just type in two compartment system, Jason Fung, it'll come up. I apologize. He does swear a lot for some reason in that.
Oh, okay.
In that he's very passionate. I was kind of taken aback because you're expecting him to be very professional. He starts swearing, but he's really excited. And his explanation is wonderful, especially for diabetics. I think fasting should be absolutely embraced by diabetics. But again, if you're on medication, you should work with a functional doctor, a holistic doctor, a naturopathic doctor who knows how to help you. So Jason Fung does something where he has diabetics who are on medication fast for 24 hours, then eat for 24 hours, and fast for 24 hours, then eat for 24 hours. And he sees really great results with that. But I would say ease into it, start doing intermittent fasting. And then if you're someone who's healthy and on no medication, experiment with water-only fasting. There's one guy I've had on the show several times who does a 30-day fast every year, and he documents it. He's spent over $50,000 of his own money testing his heavy metals and his pesticide levels over the last 6 years. And he shows Wow. you how fasting can help you to eliminate these toxins from the body. You've got to use sauna therapy, supplementation of really high quality supplements, and also activated charcoal to help mop up the pesticides that the body ends up reabsorbing through the bile when we're fasting. So long-term fast should have that as well.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And then my last question before we go today there, Ashley, what was that one? Oh yeah. What do you recommend someone uses as a herbal supplement, so like a probiotic or a plant enzyme, if they're someone that suffers from occasional bad bouts of indigestion?
I first of all wouldn't. I would go deeper. Why does this person have indigestion? Because I think if we just focus on the surface and say, oh, everyone should take Swedish bitters, or everyone, you know, that would be doing a really big injustice. Because one person could be having indigestion because they have small intestinal bacterial overgrowth or small intestinal fungal overgrowth. And another person could have indigestion because they're having a reaction to the anti-nutrients in certain foods like nightshades, gluten, that is actually harming the intestine's ability and the stomach's and esophagus's ability to produce the mucosal lining, and which causes the indigestion. They could be deficient in the nutrients that the body needs to make hydrochloric acid. They could have had their gallbladder removed. They could have their pancreas and liver could be compromised. They're not producing the right enzymes. They could be calcium deficient so that the pepsinogen isn't able to excrete into the stomach. There are so many reasons why someone experiences indigestion, but running to a little purple pill or Tums every time someone has indigestion is doing a great disservice, or going for some herbal supplement or going for some probiotic. I do not believe in throwing a supplement or a drug at a symptom. That is not helping the body. Let's go deeper. That's why we need to go deeper. And again, working with naturopaths, working with holistic doctors, this is what they do. They'll go deeper. Why is the body telling us this symptom? what, you know, and then there are some tests, there are some questions. We can go deeper and go, okay, is this a nutrient deficiency? Why is the body out of balance? Is the microbiome out of balance? Is the person experiencing an allergic reaction? So I had a horrible allergic reaction to soy a few years ago. I was experiencing a sore throat for 3 months that was so bad I couldn't swallow. And in a desperate attempt to fix it, I got on antibiotics, and I regretted that. Even though I tested negative for, I did several swabs, I test negative, but I was just, I just couldn't believe that anything else other than infection could be causing this horrible, horrible sore throat. I even got tested for mumps. I mean, it was, my naturopath was just like scratching her head. And then all of a sudden she said, what if this is acid reflux? And I said, there's no way, how is this acid reflux? You know, I've got an iron stomach. She said, okay, let's do a test. And this is where I love naturopaths, is they'll use a drug or over-the-counter drug as an affordable lab test. Let's just say it that way. So she said, go get some Tums. And she doesn't think people should take Tums to treat a symptom, but use it as a way of testing to see if that's the problem, to rule out. She said, go use some, eat some Tums. And if your sore throat goes away, then your sore throat's actually been caused by indigestion. Now, I got to tell you, the sore throat was so bad, I could hardly swallow. And you could see my neck was swollen. Like, it, I could hardly talk. It was so bad. It was so painful. So we went to Costco and I bought some Tums. And I was chewing them while we were going through Costco. I was chewing them while we were going home. And by the time we got home, my sore throat was gone.
Wow.
And I was pissed. I was pissed that I had, I was in my blind spot, that this was in my blind spot. And that I was like, just, I was so convinced. It was such a bad sore throat. I was so convinced that it was an infection, but it was silent heartburn. And so I had to like go through my diet and go, what have I been eating, you know, differently? How have I been eating differently? And I realized it was soy. So I cut out all soy and my heartburn went away completely. And so I went soy free for over a year. And then I tested, I started eating soy again, and I didn't get heartburn. Sometimes the body just needs a break from something. So basically, indigestion is a symptom. It's the tip of the iceberg. Don't treat the tip of the iceberg. You got to go deeper. If I had just started eating Tums and stayed, imagine if I had just stayed eating Tums, okay? And kept eating soy because I didn't look deeper. It would have been causing problems throughout my whole body. So indigestion is just one symptom, but there are many other problems going on beneath the surface. The soy was causing chronic inflammation throughout my whole body and causing, disrupting many other things. When we don't have healthy digestion, everything else breaks down, because that's how the body gets nutrition, and nutrition is how the body builds healthy cells. So if you have any symptoms where your digestion isn't optimal, you have to take that incredibly serious. That is the difference between long life or an early grave, is your the health of your digestive tract.
Awesome. Well, we got some awesome gold nuggets from you today, Ashley. Appreciate you joining us on the podcast today.
It's been such a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. And is there anyone else that you would recommend in the future that I could reach out to, or would be okay to reach out to have for another possible interview? Any friends, colleagues, mentors that might be interested in getting on the podcast?
What kind of topics do you want to explore?
I like to anything to do with health and wellness or maximizing people's performance, whether that be mentally or physically or psychologically or physiologically. That's kind of my brand. So
yeah. So there's a guy in Alberta who was like 600 pounds and he lost it all. And he teaches what he did, and he has a great story. So he's a really cool guy. I can recommend that you guys hook up. It's just such a beautiful story. And just really, really great, solid advice, because he lived it, and he's lost all that weight and he has kept it all off.
Wow. Yeah. No, that'd be incredible. Awesome. And just before we go as well, I know you're probably the most active on your podcast, but is there any other platforms as well that our listeners can find you on?
So they can go to learntruehealth.com. You know, they could go to wherever they listen to podcasts, they should be able to find Learn True Health podcast. They can also go to, I've got a really active Facebook group community, mm-hmm. Learn True Health on Facebook. It's a great holistic community where everyone supports each other.
Awesome. Right on. Appreciate you joining us today, Ashley, and you take care.
Thank you so much. You too.
All right. Bye for now.
I hope you all enjoyed this special guest series episode brought to you by RadioGuestList.com. Again, this is your host, Alex Muir. And if you'd like to learn more about kind of what I do and this podcast, Mindset Podcast, you can check me out on my social media. I always post all my links of my social media in every episode that I post. And I share all my posts, my podcast posts on my LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. So you'll be able to check out the podcast links on there. So if you want to connect with me, get to know me, I will be answering messages on there if you have any questions. And again, if you want to hear more episodes like these, or if you have any feedback, please let me know on social media. You can send me a message, or you can, feel free to follow my podcast and be sure to, you know, keep checking in and see what I'm up to. I really appreciate everyone that listens to my podcast, and hope you guys all enjoyed, and see y'all next time. Take care.